John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We're going to begin in a moment in verse 28. John chapter 18 and verse 28. I love you folks. And when you're not here, I miss you. And so when we start the service and I see somebody missing, I think, oh, I hope so-and-so is okay. I hope everything's all right. And then today, I don't know if you all planned it. I know you didn't, but folks kept trickling in. Oh, yeah. Oh, amen. Oh, and this song service went along. It got better and better. Amen. We're still missing a few, but I'm glad you're here today. I have, I guess you could call it a privilege of standing up in front of you. And I can say this with conditions, and I'll give you those in a second. I can say this to you. Everything's going to be all right. If, what do you think that if is? I'll put it this way. Everything's going to be all right depending on what you have done with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I can't think of a good way to illustrate this. I usually don't have trouble thinking of a good illustration, but the story we're going to see this morning is the illustration, I suppose. Everybody, you and me and the folks in this passage, everybody at some point in time has to decide, what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone says, I don't want to make that decision. You just made it. Praise the Lord, you can unmake that and do it right later. But someone says, I want him. Praise God. I want him in my life. I want him to be my king. I want him. And that's the question here in this passage is, who's the king? Who's the king in your life? Don't tune me out, young person. Who's the king in your life? Amen? Don't you like to be able to stand back sometimes and watch what someone else does and in a Not a mean-spirited way, but just in a way, say to yourself, I'm sure glad that's them and not me. That's what you got right here. There's a man named Pilate. Pilate is, he has a hard job. He's been appointed by Caesar, maybe been in power now for about 7 or 8 years. He's been appointed by Caesar to go to Jerusalem and to rule the Jews. And if you know anything about the Jews, those people are hard to rule. They're stubborn. They're kind of sneaky sometimes. And don't ever disparage the Jews. They're God's chosen people. Our Savior is a Jew. Amen. We call them Jews from the tribe of Judah. They're Hebrews. Hebrews because they came from a man named Eber way back in Genesis. They're hard people to rule. In fact, ultimately what happened to Pilate, and maybe 2 or 3 years after what we see in John 18, there was an uprising, and Pilate very heavy-handedly killed a bunch of the uprisers, and he was recalled to Rome. And either while he was on the way or after he got there, the Caesar, the emperor, died. And we don't know what happened to Pilate after that. He just disappears from the pages of history. But I know what happened to him right here. And I know that what we see happening to him is something we can learn from because it applies to us. We also have to make a decision. What am I going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's stand. I'll read the passage to you. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. I'll begin reading in John chapter 18, verse 28. And I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. We see so many things in this passage, it's hard to choose which ones to focus on. But God, I pray you'd choose that focus and that you'd give us guidance today as we look into it. It's a blessing to have made a decision to accept Christ as our Savior. We began by singing the song, Saved, Saved, Saved. I think we'll shout those words when we get to heaven. But Lord, today we do know that the Bible teaches us plainly that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. Thank you that we can choose Jesus as our Savior. Thank you that if there's anyone here that hasn't done that, they can do it today. They can do it at any moment. But Lord, I pray also we'd remember that day by day we have to make a choice of what to do with Jesus in our life. It's not just about being saved. It's about living a life with him. Pray you'd bless now, guide and direct, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Bowed at you. So many things jump out at me here. I'm not sure which one to grab at first. There's just tons of them. You understand, for example, that they bring the Lord Jesus Christ to Pilate because they do not have the authority to do what they want to do, and that is they want him killed. In verse 30, when Pilate asks, what did he do? They really can't explain it. They just use this half-baked excuse of, well, we brought him to you, so he must be guilty. And the whole thing is kind of a charade. It's just amazing. But Pilate is in a position that you wouldn't want to be in his regard, although we are in a similar position. I'll explain that later. But he has to make a decision. You have to make a decision. In fact, you've made a decision. It breaks my heart to see people make the wrong decision about this. What are you going to do if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible says in John chapter 1, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It starts by, as the Bible says in Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But then it keeps on going, doesn't it? And if you've received Christ as your Savior, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit keeps working on you and talking to you? Did he talk to you this week? Amen. Did he convict you of sin? Did he talk to you about what you ought to be doing? And he works on me all the time. And praise God, it's being saved is not just, oh, okay, I prayed a prayer, now I can go live the life I want to live. Being saved is being changed. Pilate, appointed by Caesar, he has the authority of life or death. In verse 31, at the end of the verse, the Jews say, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. These hypocrites. Look back up in verse 28. They wouldn't go into the judgment hall because they wanted to eat the Passover. They're willing to be religious, at the same time falsely accuse the Son of God and deliver him to be crucified. And don't misunderstand, they're just as guilty of his death as the Romans are, because they brought him there and they wanted him killed, and they said to Pilate, we don't have the authority to have somebody killed, but you do. Do you know that you have the authority of life and death? Maybe not over me, but over yourself. Amen? You've got that choice. Aren't you glad you chose life? I'm going to assume for the sake of argument that we're filled with a room full of people that have trusted Christ as their Savior. If you're not, then hear me now. As I apply these things, I'm talking about folks that have done what's right and trusted Christ and received Christ and not rejected Him. And what's the question? Look at the question here. It's when Pilate, in verse 33, goes back into the judgment hall, he calls Jesus, and here's the question. Art thou the King of the Jews? Yes, He is. Amen. I come to you and I could say, is Jesus your King? Who do you follow? Who has a say in your life? This morning, did the Lord Jesus Christ have His say? Well, He must have. You're here. Someone says, well, I had to be somewhere else. That's a possibility, but quite often it's we decide to be somewhere else because we have maybe another king. Maybe money is our king. Maybe pleasure is our king. I don't know. He says, art thou a King of the Jews? Now, there's three or four things you're going to see in this that are so practical. And again, having received Christ, you can maybe have a hard time remembering what you went through to make that decision. But let's see what Pilate has to go through. And it starts really in verse 29. Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? I have a question for you. What has Jesus ever done to hurt you? Do you have any reason to reject Him? Do you know why people reject the Lord Jesus Christ? They don't want to give up their sin. I saw it. Over and over and over, I've seen it in my life so many times I've lost track. Someone has a sin and they love that sin. And they don't even want to call it sin. They just want to call it whatever, a lifestyle or the way they are or whatever. And they've chosen that sin. And it might be one thing, it might be several, but they've chosen that. And when someone says, would you rather have your sin or would you like for Jesus to save you from your sin? They choose the sin instead of the Savior. Folks, if you got saved, when you got saved, if you got saved, you didn't come to Jesus Christ to save you so you could sin. You came to Him to save you from your sin. He is a deliverer. Now, salvation is eternal, but we're also saved today. Amen? Because we have received Jesus Christ, our life will be different today. It's been a sad week for me because I have the occasion to hear what's happening in people's lives quite often, and I've heard of at least a couple of people that have died just recently. And it breaks your heart. Young people, not people in their 70s and 80s, but people in their 20s and 30s that have died. And anytime anybody dies, it doesn't matter how old they are, the first thing you and I automatically tend to ask ourselves is, were they saved? Do me a favor. I had a phone call this week from a funeral home here in town, and the funeral home said, we'd like to come by and have someone give your people some material for funeral planning. That's nice. What they really want to do is sell services, but that's their business. And I said, no, I really don't want you to come to sell to our people, but I appreciate what you're doing. It's important to plan ahead. You know, when you step into eternity, make sure your family knows that you're saved. Well, for some of us, there's no doubt. If Mr. Mendez was to step into eternity and somebody was to come to me and say, Pastor, do you think he was saved? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he talked about it all the time and he served God. And yeah, there's evidence there. But you know, I've seen some people that don't have much evidence. Kind of leaves you wondering, doesn't it? We always hope. But make sure folks know you're saved. That's a good reason to have a good testimony. You haven't got to be perfect to have a good testimony, but you need to be godly enough that people can see there's something different about you. What has Jesus ever done to hurt you? What had He ever done to hurt the chief priests and the scribes? What He had done is what He was to do, and that is to come and present Himself as their Savior. The scribes and the Pharisees couldn't save anybody. All they had was the law. Jesus has the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. I just say this to you. If you want to know a good qualified candidate to choose, the Lord Jesus Christ is it. He will take care of you. He will save you. He loves you. The devil's not going to do any of those things for you. Now, there was no reason to reject him. They had to hem-haw around. Well, we wouldn't have brought him here if he wasn't guilty. He's not guilty. And these folks are conniving and they're cheating and they're liars. So look at verse 31. This is the second thing I want to show you. So Pilate said unto them, he says, take ye him and judge him according to your law. We would say it this way. I don't want to do this. You do it. Do you know that you, I don't care who you are, you're 10 years old, you're 100 years old, if you got enough conscience to realize that you need a Savior, you have to decide what to do with Jesus Christ. I can't decide for you. Brother Mendez can't decide for you, your friend, your neighbor, your family. I've actually heard people very rarely say, well, you know, my grandfather was saved, my father was saved, so I must be saved too. No, you have to decide what to do with Jesus. You have to decide to accept him or reject him. And you can't put this off on somebody else. Pilate didn't really want that responsibility. He says, take him and judge him according to your law. But that's not the way it works. You can't remain neutral. He does everything he can to remain neutral. He doesn't want to be responsible for this decision. He doesn't want the burden, but he has no choice. He's been put in that place. You and I, God put us in a place, if you will, where we have to decide for ourselves, what am I going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can't let somebody else choose for you. You cannot say, I'll let someone else decide. Come on down to verse 33. So Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. And the Jews stay outside because they want to eat the Passover, which is ironic because the Passover is a picture of Christ. And he called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now look at verse 34. Jesus answered him, and sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Now watch what's happening here. What Pilate is saying, he says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus asks him, did you come up with that or did someone tell you that? Well, first of all, I would say this. Aren't you glad somebody told you about the Lord Jesus Christ? God's not willing any should perish. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God convicts us. And Jesus said himself, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But I'd ask you this question. You've seen people around you that serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have decided who he is to them, but you have to decide who he is to you. And the question, as you continue the reading, is he the king? The Jews, because of their sin, had lost dominion in their country. They did not have authority. For example, they did not have the authority to run the government. The Romans were running the government. They did not have the authority to collect taxes. The Romans collected the taxes. They didn't have the authority to execute prisoners, to conduct capital punishment. The Romans had that authority. The Jews knew what it was to be subordinate to someone else. And in this case, with the Romans, it was not voluntary. The Romans had conquered them. You and I are going to be conquered by something. I was trying to teach the high school Bible class a very difficult passage in Genesis to where God came to Cain after Cain had offered the wrong offering. Before Cain killed Abel, God came to him and he said, if you bring the right sacrifice, you'll be accepted. And if not, sin lieth at the door. Somebody says, well, I'm just gonna be in charge of my own life. Yeah, you may think that. But something's gonna rule you. Either God's gonna rule you or sin is gonna rule you, one of the two. Somebody's gonna be in charge. You may deceive yourself, well, I do what I want to do. No, you don't. Somewhere along the way, those influences of sin are gonna capture you. And we see it in our society, and it breaks my heart. I see people suffering. I see people. We had a fellow here Wednesday night. Eric, I believe was his name. He came in and he sat down right over there where the angels are sitting. And he sat during the service and he was really upset. And if you were here Wednesday, you noticed that I went quite out of the way to present the gospel very, very, very clearly and talked about how to pray and ask Christ to save you. And I went over and talked to him after the service and I just don't know how to help him. I talked to him about getting saved. He seemed to think he couldn't be saved. He must have thought he'd done something too bad to be saved. Aren't you glad there's nothing that's too bad to be saved from? But at the end of the day, he had to make a decision. And you do too. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, something will fill that void. So, poor old Pilate, he doesn't know of anything Jesus has done that would cause him to condemn Jesus. He'd like to remain neutral and not pass judgment, but he hasn't got that choice. He's heard what some other folks have said, and he's repeated that. But the real, there's so much here. There's just one more that jumps out. Look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." In other words, I'm agreeing with what you've said. He's not mouthy or anything. He's just telling him, this is what you said. He says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. There's an entire message in that verse. In fact, there's several messages in that verse. Let's just look at a couple of things here. First of all, why did Jesus come to this world? At Christmas time, we quote the verses. Paul said it. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die for you. I know he died for others, but he died for you. He died for me. Being willing to do that elevates him to a place of respect, a place of honor, a place where he deserves to be followed. Someone says, "I don't want to follow him." Aren't you glad he died for you? Does that deserve any recognition? But you keep going in that verse. He says, "This is why I came, to bear witness of the truth." And Pilate's going to ask that question in a minute. We'll get there when we do. But folks, if you want to find truth, you're not going to find it outside the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find it in religion. The Jews had plenty of religion, but that wasn't enough for them. That didn't save them. The Jews had plenty of practice. They had all sorts of things that they did. But religion is not the answer. Christ is the answer. Here's a tremendous statement in verse 37. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." That's a nice test. You know, we were getting ready to think about putting that stove back there in the kitchen, and there's an outlet back there. It's sitting there ready to go. And we thought to ourselves, it looks good, but wouldn't it be sad if we went out and got a stove and found out it wasn't wired? So we ran a little test and put a meter on it, see what the voltages are. Yep, it's good to go. So Lord willing, in about 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have a stove back there. And praise God, we'll have some good potlucks. Amen? I wonder how much menudo you can cook on top of a stove. Quite a lot, I expect. There's a test here. He says, "Everyone." That means you, amen? That means me. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, it's not the sound he's interested in. It's not the words he's interested in. It's what he says that matters. Folks, when Jesus says it, that settles it. Well, I say that, but is that the way it is in our life? "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." You see, if you look at it in a roundabout way, it doesn't really matter what Jesus said to the Jews because they don't want to hear it. It doesn't really matter what he says to Pilate because he doesn't want to hear it. I got to ask you a question. When Jesus speaks, do you want to hear it? Does it make a difference in your life? Does it change the way you live? Now, praise God, I started out with this thought. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, I just want you to know everything's going to be all right. And I do not understand the complexities of life any more than you do, bits and pieces, but there's a lot of things that happen. I don't know why. I don't know how God's going to get us through that. The suffering and the death and those sorts of things that we've seen recently. But I still trust God. Kind of like Job sometimes. You go through things and you don't know why you're going through them and it's hard, but you still trust God. Pilate is in a bad place. He asks a question. And I think it's almost a cry of desperation in verse 18. Jesus just said to him, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And that he came to bear witness unto the truth. And in verse 38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" That's so sad. Now the end of the story, as you know, is ultimately Pilate lets Jesus be crucified. He did not stand with Christ. I suspect, I have no reason to believe otherwise, that right now Pilate is in hell. And folks, when you die, some truth is going to be very evident to you at that point in time. The fellow in Luke chapter 16, the rich man, when he died, he knew the truth. He said, "Send Lazarus to my five brothers if they don't come to this place." Folks, when you step into eternity, whether you go to heaven or hell, you're going to understand some truth. But why wait that long when the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to give it to you right now? Someone says, "Well, I just don't know what the truth is." I had a fellow one time tell me, "I'm looking for the truth." And I said, "No, you're not. You're looking for something else because you got the truth. It's right here in the Bible. What are you going to do with what Jesus said? If you really want the truth, then you got it. If you don't want what Jesus said, if you don't accept Christ, if you're not willing to let him be your king, then yeah, you're never going to find the truth." And you can hear the sadness, the grief. It's almost as if this would be the tombstone over Pilate's grave. What is truth? You know, we sang "Saved." I'm glad we know the truth. You know the truth, amen? When you know the truth, everything's going to be okay. Well, let's finish up here. It's just about time. So we've seen there was no reason for him to reject Jesus. Jesus had done nothing to hurt him, nothing to hurt anybody, really. There was no way he could remain neutral. There's no way he could let someone else make the decision for him. And now he has to decide what he's going to do. And he really wants to do nothing. And so here's what he says. He says in verse 38, "I find in him no fault at all." But what he wouldn't say was, "Let him go." That statement will condemn this man. "I find in him no fault at all. And I am in authority over this land. Let him go." Now that couldn't have happened for a number of reasons. We know, for example, that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die to pay for our sins. But that does not remove the responsibility from Pilate for what he's saying right there, if you listen carefully, is go ahead and crucify an innocent man. And he was innocent. He had done nothing wrong. You and I are the reason he was crucified. He died for our sins. He had done nothing wrong. If you're here today and you never have received him, you are still in jeopardy of being judged by God for your sins and cast into a lake of fire for all eternity. I didn't make that up. That's all over the Bible. But I know this, the Lord Jesus Christ took your sins upon him, and if you will ask him to, he will save you from those sins and cleanse you from your unrighteousness. He'll take your sin upon him. In fact, he has done so, but he'll now place his righteousness upon you. "I find in him no fault at all." That's the most astounding thing to see. He just finished saying, this man is innocent, but he won't make the decision. Let him go. I stand with him. A lot of folks know about Jesus. In fact, very few people don't know about him. But the question is, what are you going to do? So look what happens. He says, verse 39, plain as day. He says, "You have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Now, this gospel doesn't describe it as well as some others, but he thinks this is a sure deal. Barabbas is a robber. This guy's been, likely as not, waiting on the highway, and here come some people traveling, and he stops them and takes everything from them. He's guilty. And Pilate thinks, surely they would let Jesus go and take Barabbas and have him crucified. After all, this man's wicked. There's a picture of this all the way back in Leviticus, by the way. There's a scapegoat and so on. But anyway, the Bible says, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. And then Matthew casually comments, now Barabbas was a robber. They would rather choose wickedness than Christ. Folks, that's as clear as it gets. That's our choice. You either choose Christ or you choose wickedness. Pilate says, I want to make this decision. You make it. He cannot escape the responsibility that comes with his authority. Like I said, he has authority of life and death over other people. You have authority of life and death over yourself. You can decide. Some man says, well, I can't believe God would send somebody to hell just for making a mistake. Don't even think that thought, because I'll tell you this. If you go to hell, don't blame it on God. He did everything he could to keep you out of hell. He gave his son to keep you out of hell. And he made it so straightforward that if you'd believe on his son and accept him, that you could be saved. So don't blame it on God. Pilate says, well, maybe I can get out of this. Maybe I can get out of this. No, you can't. It's never easy to stop and think that somebody's died and gone to hell. And we don't always know. We never really always know. But I know what Pilate did with Jesus. What are you and I doing with Jesus? Have you trusted him as your Savior? You see, here's an interesting thing, and I'm done. Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty. Pilate knew that Jesus deserved to be set free. But he wouldn't make the decision. I wonder how many times folks have sat in church. They know they're a sinner. They know Christ died for their sins, but they won't ask him to save them. And then, this is mostly a salvation message, but I will mention this to you. When you receive, if you received Christ, it changes your life. Pilate couldn't go back and undo his decision. But if he had chosen to let Jesus free, things would have been different. If you've chosen Jesus as your king, he'll accept that responsibility and that authority in your life. And things will be different. And if, even now, if you've trusted him as your Savior and maybe you've drifted away a little bit, it's not too late to come back to him and say, Lord, I want you to be in charge. But just remember this, it's not just what you think, it's what you do with him that makes a difference. Pilate had to do something with him, and you and I do as well. Let's all stand and pray.